we're going to continue now to worship God in the bringing in of our tithes and offerings. You know, we speak often of those being a seed, and we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. And I'll try to keep it on that channel and not go off into rabbit trails, because it's such a big thing. In John chapter 12, there were some Greeks who wanted to speak to Jesus. And they said something to Philip. Philip said something to Andrew. And then they both went and told Jesus. And in the middle of that discussion, in the middle of Jesus' response, he said, John 12:24, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." Or literally the Greek word there is fruit. Now why would Jesus throw that out in response? Well, the interesting thing is, the first thing Jesus said was, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. And then he talks about the grain of wheat or the seed falling into the ground and dying and producing fruit. And then he says, he who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Now, the interesting thing there in the middle, when he was talking about the grain of wheat falling into the ground of dying, he was alluding to his dying on the cross as the seed of Abraham, and the seed of the woman. But, see, there's the little tiny rabbit trail. And now in John chapter 15, but there's a principle right in the middle of that we're going to come right back to. In John 15, remember Jesus was speaking to his disciples in the middle of the vineyard. And he says, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, then you will bear much fruit. And if you're bearing fruit, then there's going to be some pruning involved so that you can bear more fruit. And he said, by this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. And then, let's jump to 1 Corinthians 15. Paul wrote, and he's talking about the resurrection, but he said, foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. It's the same principle that Jesus was speaking about. And he said, and what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. So before there's newness, as we've already heard about this morning, there has to be a death to the oldness. Right. There can be no newness, and there can be no life until the old dies. Jesus was trying to teach his disciples the law of sowing and reaping, first by using himself as the example, the seed of Abraham, which I mentioned, who would give his life for the life of the world, and then by extending the same principle to everyone else. We are saved by that principle, aren't we? We died with Christ. Then we come to newness, and we live by the same every day. You know what happens when you buy a bag of seed or a little pack of seeds and you leave it on the shelf? Absolutely nothing happens to it. But when the seed is buried in the soil and it's given the right conditions, a little bit of water and sunlight to go along with the dirt, an amazing transformation happens. We call it dying, but really there's a big change taking place, and it was never going to happen until that seed was buried in the soil and died. And gardeners and farmers count on it, don't they? Now, I know some people get frustrated. If you stare long enough at a seed you plant in the ground and nothing happens, you get really frustrated. You wonder what's going on. But no amount of frustration and shouting is going to make that seed come up. It just does. So we refer to our tithes and offerings as seed. When we present our offerings to God by faith, we are surrendering them to his gracious hand to use them and to bless them. There is a transformation that he makes to take place. He causes the fruit to abound to our account, but it only happens when we let go of that gift and let it die, so to speak. What you sow, as Paul wrote, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. How many people have given their offerings for years and then demanded their money back? We've heard of that before. It's an awful thing, isn't it? Why? They never let go of them. Those offerings never died. They yeah, turned them right. in. And, you know, the church used their offerings, but there is no fruit coming back to them for that. No. I'm telling you, they never gave them to God. They turned them in. What we sow, as also might be mere money, a mere five, ten, 500. But the hand of God can touch it so that it not only meets the needs of the ministry and beyond, but also causes fruit to grow in our own households. See, that fruit can come back to us then because we let go of it and let God take care of it. Amen. The fruit comes according to God's timetable, by the way. He doesn't always harvest in the fall. He is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. God is watching, and God sees, and God knows the conditions that have been set up when we turned in our tithes and offerings, and he wants to bless them.